productive lives without gluing their arses to the piano bench for 20 hours a day. Kiss some pretty girls, sniff a few roses, go see the lakes. Val shoved off the wall, using only his right hand for balance. I know you mean well, but I don't want to do anything but play the piano.
And I know what you want.
David hopped down to fall in step beside Val.
What you want has gotten you a hand that can't hold a teacup. And while that's not fair and it's not right, it's also not yet permanent.
I'm whining. Val stopped and gazed toward the manor house, where David's Viscountess was no doubt tucking in their infant daughter for the evening. I should be thanking you for bothering with me.
I am flattered to be of service. And you are not to let some idiot surgeon talk you into bleeding it.
You're sure?
I am absolutely sure of that. No bleeding, no blisters, no surgery, and no peculiar nostrums. You tend it as you would any other inflammation.
Which would mean, Val forced himself to ask. But what would it matter, really? He might get the use of his hand back in a year, but how much conditioning and skill would he have lost by then? He loved his mistress, his muse, but she was jealous and unforgiving as hell.
Rest, David said sternly as they approached the house. Cold soaks, willow bark tea by the bucket, and at all costs, avoid the laudanum. If you can find a position where the hand is comfortable, you might consider sleeping with it splinted like that. Massage, if you can stand it.
As if I had some tired old man's ailment. You're sure about the laudanum? It's the only thing that lets me keep playing.
Laudanum lets you continue to aggravate it, David shot back. It masks the pain, it cures nothing, and it can become addictive.
A beat of silence went by. Val nodded once, as much of an admission as he would make.
Christ, David stopped in his tracks. How long have you been using it?
Off and on for months. Not regularly. What it gives in ability to keep playing, it takes away in ability to focus on what I'm creating. The pain goes away, but so does both manual and mental dexterity, and I can still see my hand is swollen and the wrong colour.
Get rid of the poppy. It has a place, but I don't recommend it for you.
I comprehend.
You think your heart's breaking, David said. But you still have that hand, Valentine, and you can do many, many things with it. If you treat it right now, some day you might be able to make music with it again.
Is there anything you're not telling me? Val asked, his tone flat.
Well, yes, David replied as they gained the back terraces of the manor house. There's another possibility regarding the onset of the symptoms.
More good news?
Perhaps.
David met his gaze steadily, which was slightly disconcerting. In addition to height and blonde good looks, David Worthington, Viscount Fairley, had one blue eye and one green eye.
With a situation like this, where there is no immediate trauma, no exposure to disease, no clear cause for the symptoms, it can be beneficial to look at other aspects of well-being.
In the King's English, David, please. Much more of David's learned medical prosing on, and Val was going to break a laudanum bottle over his friend's head.
Sickness can originate in the emotions, David said quietly. The term broken heart can be literal, and you did say the sensations began just after you buried your brother Victor.
As we were burying Victor, Val corrected him, not wanting to think of the pain he'd felt as he scooped up a symbolic fistful of cold earth to toss on Victor's coffin. What in the hell does that have to do with whether I can ever again thunder away at Herr Beethoven's latest sonata?
That is for you to puzzle out, as you'll have ample time to ponder on it, won't you?
Suppose I will at that. Val felt David's arm land across his shoulders and made no move to shrug it off. Though the last thing he wanted was pity. The numbness in his hand was apparently spreading to the rest of him, just not quickly enough.
You seem to be